lodges. I ride in this wind on my good horse. I call you my shiny black bass to the playhouse.
Today, every inhabitant of this planet must contemplate the day when this planet may no longer be habitable. Every man, woman, and child lives under a nuclear sword of Damocles, hanging by the slenderest of threads, capable of being cut at any moment by accident or miscalculation or by madness. The weapons of war must be abolished before they abolish us.
The spent fuel pool in Unit 4, with a total weight of 1,617 tons, is suspended 100 feet or 30 meters above ground. TEPCO plans to remove the spent fuel rods in the coming years, but if there is another massive earthquake nearby, this may not be fast enough. If this pool collapses or drains, the resulting blast of penetrating radiation will shut down the entire area.
We soon will be riding my shiny black bass. No fat rich man's
calling. You're listening to episode 671 of Unwelcome Guests, the nuclear fuel pool of Damocles. I'm Robin Upton, and we've just heard John F. Kennedy, 1961, half century ago, warning of the perpetual massive danger posed by the use of nuclear weapons. As we've studied many times on the show before, nuclear weapons and nuclear power are extremely closely related. So it's difficult to think of just abolishing weapons and keeping nuclear power. And of course, there's the problem of what to do with the nuclear waste. As we heard in episode 558, this must be kept for something like 100,000 years, kept away from living beings. The other voice we heard was Japanese diplomat Akio Matsumura describing that the spent fuel from Fukushima reactor is currently in midair in a tank full of water in a badly damaged building. We're going to hear the whole of his presentation in just a minute. Firstly, a big thank you to Mariah Gelardin from TUC Radio, who's responsible for most of this show's material. Her radio show, which has been running for the best part of two decades, is available from tucradio.org. And we're going to hear her now introducing Akio Matsumura's presentation.
Fukushima Symposium 2013. Akio Matsumura. What did the world learn from the Fukushima accident? This is the last of a 10-part program series covering the most recent and complex status of the ecological and medical consequences of the Fukushima catastrophe, as well as the very important details of engineering in nuclear power technology. The information was presented at the two-day Fukushima Symposium at the New York Academy of Medicine in March 2013. The overwhelming conclusion was that the Fukushima accident is by no means over, and another earthquake or tsunami might cause the reactor fuel pools to ignite. I'm ending this series with a voice from Japan. I first heard from Ambassador Akio Matsumura in 2011, when he launched his ongoing attempt to engage international organizations and the governments of countries most affected to advise, oversee, or even take over the work now done by the owner, TEPCO. As a private corporation in charge of the cleanup, TEPCO is clearly overwhelmed by the task and also has no credentials for handling it responsibly. Their mismanagement of Fukushima Daiichi while it was running is well documented. TEPCO says it will take 40 years to secure the site. The IAEA, at an April 2013 visit, said that estimate was too low and the damaged infrastructure would not last that long. To illuminate the urgency of the task to get the cleanup under control, Matsumura points to reactor number 4. Remember the images of that building with a roof torn off and fires burning inside? The entire structure is leaning. The damaged frame is missing large parts of the outer walls. Inside of what remains of Unit 4, 100 feet above ground, hangs the 1,670-ton fuel pool filled with irradiated fuel rods. You heard from fuel pool expert Bob Alvarez in this series. He says that if an earthquake causes the pool to crack and drain, there could be a radiological fire that might reignite the other parts of Fukushima Daiichi. The respected nuclear watch organization Beyond Nuclear describes the problem on their website. There are a total of 7 high-level radioactive waste storage pools at Fukushima Daiichi. If Unit 4's pool goes up in flames, it would make the entire site a deadly radioactive zone, which would have to be abandoned by workers, risking the other 6 pools also boiling down and catching fire. Ambassador Akio Matsumura has long concluded that the Fukushima Daiichi plants represent unprecedented international security risks. I view this as a problem for human civilization, he says. Anybody who has followed the still unresolved issue of where to store the irradiated fuel from U.S. nuclear power plants remembers well the mind-numbing number of 100,000 years. The U.S. government has promised to safeguard fuel from nuclear power plants for 100,000 years and recently had to admit that the chosen site at Yucca Mountain, Nevada, was not going to last that long. So in Fukushima, we have the situation that fuel so dangerous that it needs to be isolated from humans for 100,000 years hangs 100 feet up in the air in a seriously damaged reactor building. Akio Matsumura once represented Japan in Switzerland. For 40 years, he has worked with the United Nations and other international organizations.
I express my thanks to Helen and the New York Academy of Medicine for organizing this timely event. I also like to take this opportunity to express my deep appreciation to the many participants who have worked so hard to increase public awareness of risk of Fukushima. The realm of nuclear science must be linked to political action. So we are here today. I have worked at the United Nations and other international organizations in London and New York for 40 years. And I have organized, attended many international conferences, starting with the UN Population Conference in Bucharest, Romania in 1974. Over the years, we have discussed in public, private, what you might consider the defining issue of the 20th century. But we never discussed how one accident in a nuclear power plant could affect our lives for several hundred years, or how we lack a permanent nuclear waste repository, one that could store our spent fuel rod for 100,000 years. Discussion to political system and human right now seems short-sighted when compared to potential nuclear disaster that could affect our descendants perhaps 20,000 years. 20,000 years. 20,000 years ago, humans were building tools in the Stone Age. Can you believe? I worry about the growing risk to children who are being continually exposed to radiation. Many of the children will suffer from infectious diseases, and many will develop thyroid, lung, breast cancers, sometimes in their lives. Over 1 million people have died of these diseases as a result of Chernobyl accident. Others here have said that Fukushima so far has emitted more radiation than Chernobyl. In my 2 visits to Japan last year, I asked the party leaders I met their thought on the unstable state of the reactors and the thyroid cancer risk in children. Few had any idea of the spent fuel rod, or of their high level of radiation, or they sat 100 feet up in a damaged structure. Fewer still were thinking about public health. Undoubtedly, some politicians are aware of the potential catastrophe or reactor number 4. However, they showed their surprise when I told them that reactor number 4 had 10 times more cesium-137 than Chernobyl released. 5,000 times what Hiroshima bomb released 7 decades ago. They couldn't hide their shock when I told them that all of the spent fuel assemblies at Fukushima Daiichi contained 85 times more cesium than Chernobyl, and 50 to 100,000 times what released on Hiroshima. I thank Bob Alvarez for making these important calculations. I knew we had found the right message when we shared the article on our blog. It was read more than 1 million times in just a few days. These same politician leaders wonder why they had heard none of this from TEPCO. The government's first responsibility is the security of its citizens. But instead of reaching out to the independent scientists, they only consulted TEPCO, focusing on minimizing the public relations fallout instead of nuclear radiation fallout. In any country, government and the industry will keep sensitive information close after disaster. But Japan's actions have been near autocratic. Because of the government's unwillingness to share accurate information, Japanese citizens must rely on scrutinizing press corps for any useful information about the accident. Unfortunately, as with the politician, I found the journalists in Japan to be complacent and clueless. There is an amazing disconnect in Japan between the reality of Fukushima and the fictional image of the public has in mind. The press has failed in their job to close this gap. Japanese reporters, with several exceptions, have refused to investigate or ask the hard question about Fukushima. The New York Times Tokyo Bureau Chief Martin Fuckler provides a thorough look at the media club mentality and the aversion investigation in his excellent book, Credibility Lost, The Crisis in Japanese Newspaper Journalism After Fukushima. I think you should read this. To be sure, the government has not made their job easy. TEPCO says when and what information will be released, like when the site would open to the press, when the long video of accident would be released. The accuracy of government medical report is in question. But without anyone to ask those questions, the public is left behind, smokescreen operating on half-truth. The public has lost sight of the most urgent need with regard to Fukushima. Its effort to end nuclear power in Japan are inspiring, but missed mark. The protests are a result of fear, frustration, uncertainty. Prime Minister Abe will guide Japan forward with continuing dependence on nuclear energy. He will continue to restart Japan's nuclear reactors. Of all the politicians I spoke with, he was least receptive to my message of the danger for the country's children or of reactor number 4 spent fuel rod. I feel sad that we must wait for the sacrifice of tens of thousands of children to come to light for the public to realize disaster at hand. I am surprised that one group has not taken forceful action. Spiritual roots of Japan sit firmly with respect for the natural environment. The Shinto, Buddhist influence in Japanese life have bestowed a sacred importance on the country's natural beauty and resources. Japan's environment has not known a bigger threat than the presented by the 4 damaged reactor at Fukushima. The country's spiritual leaders should be active in reinforcing the country's concern toward ongoing risk. We can see that Japan is ill-equipped to handle the ongoing problem of Fukushima. But this is more than Japanese problem. It has and will affect all of us. Are we doing enough? For the past 2 years, I have been warning of the potential catastrophe of reactor number 4 and the cancer crisis awaiting for our children. There are 4 major areas of concern that could cause a bigger disaster. Number 1, in reactor number 1, number 2, and number 3, complete core meltdowns have occurred. Japanese authorities have admitted the possibility the fuel may have melted through bottom of the reactor core vessels. It is speculated that this might lead to unintended criticality, resumption of the chain reaction, or powerful steam explosion. Either event could lead to major new releases of radioactivity into the environment. Number 2, reactor 1 and 3 are sites of particularly intense radiation, making those areas unapproachable. As a result, reinforcement repairs have not yet been done since Fukushima accident. The ability of these structures to withstand a strong aftershock earthquake is uncertain. Number 3, temporary cooling pipes installed in each of the crippled reactors pass through rubble and debris. They are unprotected and highly vulnerable to damage. This could lead to failure of some cooling system, causing overheating of the fuel. Further fuel damage with radioactive releases, additional hydrogen gas explosion, possibly even zirconium fire, fuel melting within spent fuel pool. Number four, reactor number four building and its frame are seriously damaged. The spent fuel pool in unit four, with a total weight of 1,617 tons, is suspended 100 feet or 30 meters above ground. Tepco plans to remove the spent fuel rod in the coming years, but if there is another massive earthquake nearby, this may not be fast enough. If this pool collapses or drains, the resulting blast of penetrating radiation will shut down the entire area. These plants represent unprecedented international security risks. I view this as the problem for human civilizations. Have I been overestimating the potential catastrophe? Your calculations tell me there is much higher probability of another disaster than one might think. So why are we allowing ourselves to take such a large risk? Allowing our future depends solely on chance or goodwill of TEPCO or Japanese government. And if another earthquake and further meltdown are indeed possible at Fukushima, I must ask what so many Japanese leaders ask me, why does the United States stand by silently? It's in the United States' interest to take public action. High quantity of radiation reaching the West Coast would ruin our food crop. Geopolitical tension that would arise after such a disaster, ensuing evacuation would strain already difficult relations in East Asia. And finally, we are vulnerable to similar threat at home. A similar disaster could happen in the United States or elsewhere in the world with a nuclear reactor or temporary spent fuel storage facilities. There are more than 400 nuclear power plants online today, more than 100 of which are in the United States. Several sit near fault line. Others are old. And then there are the 24 temporary spent fuel storage facilities holding rods like those suspended above reactor number four. Many are only warehouses. Building a nuclear power plant might be rocket science, but maintaining the function of a cooling system is not. Yet these systems are so delicate and prone to failure. As we have seen in the last month at Fukushima, something as simple as a collision of a pipeline can set off meltdown. It is a time we regard nuclear power plant and storage facility as security risk. Nuclear security is not an issue where the president should lead from behind. In the case of a nuclear accident here or any other country, you can be sure the government and nuclear power industry reaction will be mirrors Japan's. They will control all information and access to the nuclear site, claiming national security concerns. The right to keep information from the public after disaster must be a privilege for the government, not an expectation. We need to establish now what level of access is necessary for scientist reporters, what level of government discretion is necessary for national security. We need a framework for this agreement. For now, this burden lies with investigators, and we are not well organized. Even outside of disaster scenario, there is no link between scientists and the politicians. This is true here in the United States too. I was shocked to learn in the past 2 years how much trouble our top scientists have when contacting senators and congressmen. I didn't find this to be the case 20 years ago. Continuous and open line communication between independent scientists, engineers, journalists, politicians is essential to handling another nuclear disaster effectively. I would like to ask all of you to persuade your government to share with the Japanese government your concern with the potential catastrophe and its international security and health issues. I conclude with 3 proposals for international action. 1, fact-finding mission to Fukushima made up of a select group of lawmakers from United States, Russia, Ukraine, Germany, England, France, and Canada. Senator Wyden of Oregon set an example by visiting last year. 2, special program established by UNICEF and the WHO to take extra measures to save the children who are being continually exposed to radiation in coming decades. 3, mechanism for nuclear scientists and medical doctors to collaborate and develop new technology and medicine to treat illnesses associated with radiation exposures. When Prince Charles of England spoke last year at the Rio+20 conference, he said with regard to climate change, "It is perhaps a trait of human nature to act only when the worst happens. But that is not a trait we can afford to rely on here." He could have been speaking about Fukushima. I will continue to write my blog as a layman with my partner, Chris Cote, excellent man, young man I never met. And I again praise Helen and the New York Academy of Medicine for coordinating this event. And I thank you very much for your attention.
That was Ambassador Akio Matsumura, recorded at the New York Academy of Medicine on March 11, 2013. Akio Matsumura once represented Japan in Switzerland. For 40 years, he has worked with the United Nations and other international organizations. Here is Dr. Helen Caldicott.
I come to you today with a deep sense of anxiety and concern about the health and well-being of the people of Japan and of Taiwan and of any other country with nuclear power plants. So concerned was I about Fukushima and the ignorance of the press that I organized a 2-day symposium at the New York Academy of Medicine on the second anniversary of the accident on March 11th and 12th, titled "The Medical and Ecological Consequences of Fukushima," and it was addressed by some of the world's leading epidemiologists, physicists, and physicians who presented the latest data on Fukushima. As you know, the massive Great Eastern Earthquake and tsunami occurred on March 11th, causing the meltdown of 3 nuclear reactors within several days, and such an event has never occurred in the history of the human race. Fukushima is now described as the greatest industrial accident in history. Massive quantities of radioactivity escaped into the air and water and are still escaping as I speak. 3 times more noble gases, argon, krypton and xenon, than were released at Chernobyl, together with huge amounts of other radioactive elements such as cesium, which causes brain cancer, muscle cancers, testicular cancer, ovarian cancers, strontium, which causes bone cancer and leukemia, iodine, which causes thyroid cancer, plutonium, which causes cancer in every organ of the body. Unfortunately, the people of Japan, and I'm sure Taiwan, were not informed of the accident and the meltdowns for 2 months. Now, a 1,000 megawatt reactor, which is like the 3 reactors very near you, and I would stress that there are 9 million people here living within 40 kilometres of those reactors. If one of them has an accident, you will never escape, you will never be evacuated, and you will all be doomed. That's why they must be closed down. A 1,000 megawatt reactor contains as much radiation as that released by the explosions of 1,000 Hiroshima-sized bombs. And the fissioned uranium becomes 1 billion times more radioactive than the original uranium because 200 new radioactive elements are produced, some which last seconds and some which last millions of years. And that's radioactive waste. And you've got it piling up at your reactors all over the country with only 2 more years of storage before you run out of where to put the stuff. Fortunately for Japan, for the first 3 days of the accident, the wind was blowing from west to east, so 80% of the radiation blew across the Pacific. I don't know how much radiation Taiwan received, but I'm sure you are within the plume of the radiation. Then the wind changed and blew from the southeast across much of the Fukushima prefecture, heavily contaminating the ground with fallout, and Tokyo received a considerable fallout. Tokyo is very radioactive. 35 million people live in Tokyo. I'll tell you in a while how cancer is caused by radiation. So concerned was the Japanese government, they were considering plans to evacuate 35 million people from Tokyo during the accident. Thousands of people were fleeing from the smouldering reactors, and the government knew where the plume was going, but they didn't notify the people. So the people fled into the path of the highest radiation dose. To this day, the Japanese people haven't been told really where the radiation is. 600,000 people live in very high radiation areas. Areas that in Russia, after Chernobyl, were evacuated. So the Japanese government is far less responsible, even than the then Soviet government. Isn't that interesting? I think that your government is irresponsible too, because from what I hear from listening to people, you are not informed about the medical dangers of nuclear power, and they give you all sorts of fallacious reasons why you need it to turn on your lights, which is not true. And the nuclear power industry dominates the debate. It's time physicians talked about this, because this is going to create epidemics of cancer and leukemia and genetic disease forevermore. And I will describe how that will happen soon. The Fukushima accident is not over. They don't know what to do about it. And every day, more and more and more radiation escapes into the Pacific Ocean. You have a current, I think, that goes down from Fukushima near Taiwan. Is anybody testing your fish to see if it is radioactive? But they say it's going to take up to 50 years to try and stop the accident. 50 years, nobody has ever had to cope with three nuclear meltdowns right on the edge of the ocean. Meanwhile, there's a building number 4 in Fukushima, and during the earthquake, it became very destabilized structurally. And they just removed all the radioactive fuel from the reactor core and put it in a big cooling pool on the roof, 100 feet above the ground. 100 tons of incredible radioactive waste sits 100 feet above the ground. If there's another large earthquake, Building 4 will collapse. Down will come the cooling pool, the water will leak out of it, and the fuel will burn, releasing 10 times more radiation than was released at Chernobyl. That means if that happens, you will be in great danger. They're talking about having to evacuate 55 million people from Japan, but if the wind's blowing towards you, it's going to be a catastrophe. The Japanese government is not asking anyone to come in and help them. They're trying to reinforce the building to put a huge crane on top to move those very radioactive fuel rods by remote control. It might take 1 or 2 years for that to happen. Meanwhile, if there's a big earthquake, not just Taiwan, but the whole of the Northern Hemisphere will be severely contaminated. I have 2 grandchildren in Boston. If that happens, I am going to fly my family out to Australia. Why? Because the air mass in the Northern Hemisphere doesn't mix at the equator with the southern air mass, so we don't get the radiation down in Australia. You get it. However, the Pacific Ocean has currents that go all the way around all the time. And our fish is going to be radioactive in Australia. And already they're catching tuna off the coast of California that contains cesium from Fukushima. Don't buy any Japanese food. Don't eat any Japanese food. Don't eat any Japanese fish. All Japanese food exports should be banned from coming into Taiwan. And I'll explain why in a minute. Okay, let me explain how radiation causes cancer and what it really means and what are the elements in the reactors. But first I want to show you. This is Japan. This is Fukushima. And that's a very, very high radiation area. And the blue is still very high. And you can see it came all the way down to Tokyo. And the brown means that all of this area of Japan has been contaminated with radioactive elements. And they will remain radioactive for hundreds of years. This is Chernobyl. There was a huge explosion here because a stupid man did a stupid experiment in the middle of the night and the reactor blew up. And it burnt for 10 days, releasing radiation all across Russia and all across Europe and in Scandinavia and in the United Kingdom. In fact, 40% of the European landmass is now radioactive. People are eating radioactive food. The incidence of cancer is increasing. In Cumbria and Wales in the UK, there are about 300 farms growing lambs, and the lambs are so radioactive, the government went to the farmers and said, you have to close down your farms. And they said, because your lambs are radioactive. And the farmers said, for how long? And the government said, oh, about 100 years. It's not 100 years, it's 300 years, and I'll explain why in a little while. So this shows that one stupid man at a nuclear power plant doing an experiment in the middle of the night can contaminate a whole continent for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. That's what nuclear power means if there is an accident. Now, this I want to show you is a chart of the radioactive elements in a nuclear power plant. You might only have heard of radioactive iodine and cesium-137 and strontium-90, but look at all the poisons that are made, 200, and sit in those reactors just to the north of you. So we'll start here, starting with radioactive hydrogen, which is called tritium, and I'll just quickly move through these so you see what I'm trying to illustrate. Beryllium, carbon, silicon, phosphorus, they're all radioactive and very dangerous. Sulfur, chlorine, argon, two argons, potassium, calcium, scandium, vanadium, manganese, iron, cobalt, nickel, zinc, selenium, krypton, rubinium, strontium, yttrium, zirconium, niobium, molybdenum, technetium, ruthenium, and I won't name them all, but I'll just scroll down for you to get a visual idea of the toxins that are in these nuclear power plants. Some last seconds, as I said, and some last for millions of years, and we can't get rid of them. We are making carcinogens, cancer-causing substances, which will affect all future generations. Now, many of these elements escaped from Fukushima, and I'm sure some of them landed on Taiwan. And they're all in your reactors, just to the north of you. Radium. Radium is what gave Madame Curie cancer. She was so fond of radium, which she isolated from uranium, she used to walk around with a little lump of radium in the pocket of her lab coat. And she died of a bone cancer. Her daughter also died of leukemia. So there's radium. And we go on to neptunium, plutonium, americium. These are very, very radioactive substances, terribly dangerous. Now, I'm going to explain to you how radiation causes cancer and go from there. So you know that the body is composed of cells, trillions of cells. And in each cell is a nucleus, and in the nucleus are the chromosomes, and on the chromosomes are genes, which control everything about us. But in every cell, there's a gene called the regulatory gene, and it controls the rate at which the cell divides. So if radiation hits the regulatory gene, it damages the DNA molecule. And the cell will sit quietly for many time, from 5 to 80 years, and you don't know that your cell has been damaged by radiation. Then one day, the cell starts to divide, not just into two, as it should, but into trillions and trillions and trillions of cells. And that is a cancer. It takes one piece of radiation to hit one gene in one cell to kill you. And when you feel a lump in your leg or your breast, or you cough up some blood, you don't know that this cancer was caused by some radiation you ate in a piece of sushi from Japan 20 years ago. Because no cancer identifies its origin. But we know from many studies medically of people who've been irradiated that radiation causes cancer. That's it. Now, there are other cells in the body that are more important than those cells, and one is called the sperm and one is called the egg. And you have half the number of genes and chromosomes in each, so when they combine, you get a normal cell and it starts growing into a fetus and a baby. Now, every single gene in the sperm and egg is important. And we have human genes, although 99% of our genes are the same as chimpanzee, so we don't really understand things very well. Now, radiation can damage any of these genes. I have just found out that I am a carrier for a disease called hemochromatosis, And that means my then husband and I both have that gene because our son has just been diagnosed with that disease, and it's a genetic disease, and it's an abnormality in iron metabolism, so he can't get rid of iron, and it stores in the liver and the heart, causing liver disease and heart disease. He gets treated now by being bled every few weeks, a liter of blood, which lowers the level of iron. We all carry several hundred genes for disease, like diabetes, like cystic fibrosis, like dwarfism. There are over 2,600 genetic diseases described, and radiation causes mutations. So the more radiation we have in the environment from nuclear power and from medical x-rays and CT scans, the more we are going to see genetic disease happen over future generations, many generations. Now, what forms of radiation are there? I'll walk you through that now. First, there are x-rays. Hands up those people here who've never had an x-ray. You've never had an x-ray? Dental x-ray? Oh, you have. You have. See, we've zapped you all. Doctors are one of the biggest causes of radiation exposure. Never have an x-ray without asking why. Doctors are not God, although we play God. And you have to be say, do I really need this x-ray? CT scans give you a very high dose of radiation. Do not have a CT scan unless it's absolutely necessary. Don't walk through the x-ray machines at the airports. Don't. Have a full body search, but don't walk through them. Because each dose of radiation you receive from the sun, cosmic radiation, from the rocks on the earth, from a CT scan, from an x-ray, from a nuclear power plant, they all do the same thing. Each dose you receive adds to your risk of getting cancer. It's cumulative. No dose of radiation is safe. No dose. Any radiation you receive can cause cancer years later. So be very careful, and doctors are very indiscriminate, and there's a big literature coming out. People who have a lot of dental x-rays have a high incidence of brain cancer, right? Women who have a lot of mammograms have a higher than normal incidence of breast cancer. Breast is very sensitive to radiation. So there are x-rays. And x-rays are non-particulate. They go straight through you. So when the technician says, breathe in, hold it, runs out the door, and they go zap, that instant you can be damaged. Your gene can be mutated. But you do not become radioactive. Okay? Then there is gamma radiation, which is like x-rays, given off by radioactive elements that I showed you, made in nuclear power plants. Same stuff. Then there's alpha radiation, which composed of two protons and two neutrons emitted from an atom. This is a very large particle. Plutonium, uranium is an alpha emitter, and you can hold it in your hand and the alpha particle won't penetrate the dead layers of skin to damage living cells. But if you inhale some plutonium into your lung or uranium, it goes down here and the alpha particle just irradiates a tiny little volume of cells. And almost certainly one of them will mutate and later develop cancer. Then there's beta radiation, which is an electron emitted, and it does the same thing. They all do the same thing. They damage the gene to later cause cancer. Okay, no radiation is safe. Background radiation, we think, causes about 30% of the cancers we already see, let alone adding to background radiation by nuclear power plants. Now, a nuclear power plant operating always releases radioactive elements into the air. Two studies done in Germany and France, looking at children less than 5 years of age living within 5 kilometres of a nuclear power plant, the incidence of leukemia in the children is double, and the incidence of cancer is high in the children. It's not safe to live near a nuclear power plant, particularly if you're a child. Now, children are about 10 to 20 times more sensitive to radiation than adults. They get cancer much more readily. And it's interesting, little girls are twice as sensitive as little boys. Women are more sensitive than men. And the fetus is thousands of times more sensitive to radiation. And very important work was done by a woman called Alice Stewart to show that one X-ray to the pregnant abdomen doubles the incidence of leukemia in the baby. Okay? That's why when you are still having periods and you have to have a dental X-ray or another, they say, when was your last period? And they don't X-ray you in the second half of your menstrual cycle because you might have a little embryo in your uterus who would be very vulnerable to being irradiated. So people are very different. The sensitivities of people are very different, and children are particularly vulnerable. I'll just give you a few of the elements that are made in nuclear reactors. One is radioactive iodine. Radioactive iodine goes specifically to the thyroid gland in the neck, right? And it's got a half-life of 8 days. That means in 8 days, you might have a pound. In 8 more days, it decays, so you have half a pound. In 8 more days, a quarter of a pound, right? So you multiply a half-life by 10, so it's radioactive for about 10 weeks, and then it decays away to nothing. Now, this is a beta and a gamma emitter. So what happened in Fukushima was the people who were running away, but the government didn't tell them that they were immersed in a cloud of radioactive elements, including radioactive iodine. They breathed it into their lung and it went into their thyroid. Now, one way of protecting yourself from radioactive iodine, if there's a meltdown and you know you're going to be exposed, is to take potassium iodide tablets, which blocks the uptake of radioactive iodine in the thyroid gland. Every person in Taipei needs to have potassium iodide tablets in their medicine cupboard. 9 million people. So then you will be aware that you live in great danger living within 40K of 3 reactors or maybe 4. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing is they're looking at children in Fukushima Prefecture under the age of 18. 12 have been diagnosed with thyroid cancer already. 15 more are suspected, and that's within the first 2 years. We did not see thyroid cancer in Chernobyl until 4 years. This indicates that these children got a big dose of radioactive iodine and lots all the other elements. So in other words, the people in Fukushima are at great risk for developing cancers for the rest of their lives, like the Hibakusha at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The normal incidence of thyroid cancer in children is 1 in a million. And yet the Japanese government has the audacity to say that all these cancers are not caused by Fukushima. The lying that is going on in Japan by the nuclear industry and the government, which are really one and the same thing, TEPCO and the government, and I think it's like this here with Taipower and your government, is really medically absurd. As a physician, I can't believe that politicians would lie to people about their health, because this is a medical issue. Then the next one I want to talk about is cesium, and I'm sure you've read about cesium. There's a lot of cesium that escaped from Fukushima. Cesium-137 has a half-life of 30 years, so it's around actually for 300 years. And you can't get rid of it. And cesium is like potassium, so it goes to the brain causing brain cancers. It goes to the muscle causing very rare muscle cancers. It goes to the testicle and ovary, causing cancers there or mutating genes. Nasty stuff concentrates in food. Strontium 90 lasts for 300 years too. These are both beta and gamma emitters. And strontium 90 is like calcium. So here's a femur, the thigh bone, right? And you get a little bit of strontium 90 in your thigh, and it sends out beta particles and gamma and mutates a cell that forms bone. And so later you get a bone cancer and you have to have your leg amputated. Or it mutates a white blood cell in the bone marrow, and that white blood cell becomes malignant and fills the whole body up with white blood cells, and that's called leukemia. Leukemia means white blood. The last one I'll describe is plutonium 239. The body thinks this is iron, so it's stored in the liver, where it can cause liver cancer. It causes cancer of the lung. It goes to the bone because hemoglobin is made in the bone marrow, and hemoglobin needs iron. So it can cause bone cancer or leukemia. And in fact, because the body thinks it's iron, plutonium crosses the placenta into the developing embryo. The placenta doesn't let anything through. It's very protective, but plutonium gets through, which can kill a cell that's going to form the left half of the brain or the right arm. And that's called teratogenic. It also concentrates in the testicles, next to the cells that form the sperm, where it can irradiate the sperm so mutations are passed on generation to generation, and it can also cause testicular cancer. The thing about plutonium is it's almost one of the most carcinogenic elements known, such that they say a millionth of a gram, 1 millionth of a gram, if inhaled into your lung, will give you lung cancer. Hypothetically, 1 pound... You can't do this. But if it was distributed in every person's lung on Earth, 1 pound of plutonium, they say, could kill everyone on Earth. Each reactor makes 500 pounds of plutonium a year, or 250 kilos. And that's interesting because all you need to make an atomic bomb is 5 kilos of plutonium. And if you want to make a bomb, you can look it up on the internet. The design to make an atomic bomb is on the internet. All you need is a lump of plutonium like the size of a grapefruit. Plutonium has a half-life of 24,400 years. So it lasts for 250,000 years. And America is selling nuclear power plants all over the world. So when you sell a country like United Arab Emirates or Taiwan a nuclear power plant, you're selling them a bomb factory, because they can get the plutonium out of the reactor and make themselves a bomb. Oh, but that's all right, because it's peaceful nuclear energy, don't you know? So it's so dangerous. Japan wants to sell nuclear power all over the world. These men, and they're mostly physicists, nuclear engineers, I don't think they really understand what it's like to treat a child dying of leukemia, or even to deliver a baby, beautiful baby that's born. I don't think they understand what life is about until one day they might get cancer themselves. And then I know, because on their deathbeds they talk to me and they tell me all the wicked things they've done in their life. 53% of us are women, and we're really pathetic. We don't stand up. We nurture life. We give birth to babies. It's time we said, look, you've had enough, we're in great danger, and we're going to take over. Don't mention Maggie Thatcher. She wasn't really a woman.